And welcome, friends, to the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Adam McManus, also from The Worldview in 5 minutes, with me today. And today we're coming back to popular media because, well, popular media has such an incredible influence upon our children and upon all of human society. I would say even more so than the church these days, more so than the educational institutions. Ultimately, the day-to-day influence upon the mind and upon the culture of the modern world must come from popular culture. And we want to caution our children. We need to be aware of these things. We need to be on our guard for how the principalities and powers are using media and other forms to deceive the nations and to deceive our children with each successive generation. And it's not just regular media, it's social media. We're going to come back to Facebook's influence on kids, even to the point of encouraging young teenage bopping girls to suicide. We're coming to that in just a moment. But first, wow, the influence of the popular culture upon children to encourage them towards an acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle is pretty much everywhere now. It's affected the comic strips. Just about every aspect of DC Comics have moved over to supporting transgenderism and homosexualism, and the favorite American icon now, Superman, in the form of Superman Jr., Jonathan Kent, has now been outed in DC Comics as participating in a homosexual violation of the Seventh Commandment. Don't want to get into any details. I don't like to describe homosexuality or homosexual inclinations and activities very much on the program. I don't like to go there, but nevertheless, Superman Jr., that is Jonathan Kent, apparently is being outed by DC Comics. Is it next month that's happening?
That's right. And he's very politically correct as a superhero, by the way. He's combated wildfires that were caused by not God's judgment, but by climate change. He's thwarted a high school shooting and protested the deportation of illegal aliens in the metropolis. So Tom Taylor, the writer for the Superman series, said the idea of replacing Clark Kent, who, by the way, encouraged his son, Jonathan Kent, that came out of the marriage that Clark had with Lois Lane, to become the new Superman. Tom Taylor said the idea of replacing Clark Kent with another straight white savior felt like a missed opportunity. So the new Superman had to have new fights, real world problems, and of course, a new sexuality, either bisexual or homosexual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, again, this prince is another abomination, but foisted upon children, and that's my point. Superman was the original superhero. There were maybe a few before him, but he was the guy. And he was a nice guy. I mean, he's portrayed as a nice guy, as an all-American nice guy. He was supposed to have had the highest moral model of all the superheroes, least flawed of the modern gods. From 1940 to 1951, The Adventures of Superman was a nationally syndicated radio show with sky-high ratings. Superman stopped the robbers, saboteurs, kidnappers, all these bad guys. The Superman agenda was to abandon cynicism, pursue empathy, kindness, and hope in a world of rising cynicism and hopelessness, especially surrounding World War II. So Superman has had a better image than Batman and some of the others.
And interestingly, Batman, they introduced a love interest for him of Batwoman. It really didn't take off much back in 1956 or so. But then they reintroduced Batwoman, a rebooted version in 2006. Her new backstory, she had left the military because she refused to lie about being a lesbian.
Oh, okay.
So you can see, right, you know, the arc of where the comic world is going.
Well, friends, this is almost the total destruction of any decent American morality based on Christian ethics. That's what this is. This is just a symbolic demonstration of what's going on with the entire zeitgeist in the Western world. The Christian heritage being obliterated at every point in every major institution. I think this is highly significant. What was it, 2 years ago, Ernie and Bert were somewhat outed as homosexuals in Sesame Street. Their creator said that he had modeled them after his own homosexual relationship. So that was the point made by the one who created the Ernie and Bert that was so popular among kids in the 1970s and 1980s. That's Sesame Street. So see, this is significant. When Superman Jr. goes that direction, Ernie and Bert outed as homosexuals, at least in the mind of the creator. Elsa, a lesbian, who knows, but that appears to be her trajectory. Mickey Mouse, what, will he transgender by 2025? Or will that be 2023? Where are we going with this? I think this is highly significant. virtually all the children's icons are turning to perversion in this modern Sodom. We certainly saw that with Harry Potter and How to Train Your Dragon and so forth. Basically, Sodom has expanded from a 10,000-person city-state in the BC period to, what is this, 1.5 billion-person Western world. As Billy Graham put it, will God have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't bring judgment down upon this country and upon the Western world of some 1.5 billion people? I don't know. I don't know what the future is for the Western world, but friends, we are at the end of the rope. Here's the lesson learned before we take the break. Some huckster comes to your door named Walt Disney or DC Comics and claims he has all this family-friendly stuff for kids. He wants to get your children hooked on cartoons. Don't go for it. The children's media today, as we mentioned many times on the program, children's media serves as the Pied Piper of the modern day. You get hooked on Superman for 85 years. Superman becomes the icon for America. And then these organizations that are not Christian, have never been Christian, are going to shift to the point at which your children will be forced to accept the homosexual ideology. Now, this is like the Pied Piper. Now, here's what happened, okay, for the Pied Piper, and they believe this really happened in history. It happened on June 26, 1284, in a place called Hameln, Germany. Okay, June 26, it was St. John, St. Paul's Day, June 26, 1284. So what is that? About 800 years ago. A mesmerizing entertainer known as the Pied Piper came into Hameln and entertained the children with his pipe. The adults in the town were attending church at the time, and the piper was playing his magical pipe through the streets, luring the town's 130 children from their homes. Now, depending on the version of the story, he either led them to a lake or into a cave, and none of them were seen again. An inscribed plaque on the stone facade of the so-called Pied Piper house, it's a half-timbered private residence dating to 1602. It has an inscription that reads, AD 1284, on the 26th of June, the day of St. John, St. Paul, 130 children born in Hameln were led out of this town by a piper wearing multicolored clothes. After passing the Calvary near the Koppenberg, they disappeared forever. Okay, that's the inscription.
Wow.
An entry in Hamlin's town records dating to 1384 laments that, quote, it is 100 years since our children left us. So they were still keeping track of what happened 100 years afterwards. By the way, the only difference today is it's not 130 children. Popular media is taking 1.3 billion children to hell through a much more mesmerizing method of the motion picture. And I think the bottom line for us, be very untrusting of Disney, be very untrusting of Hollywood, very untrusting of all the comics, even the public libraries. Keep your kids out of the public libraries. It's much healthier to read Christian books out loud to your family and get your children busy, involved in family economy. Get a small farm going on the side. Get a garden going. Breed dogs and cats. Just do something. But don't stick them in front of a television tube. And throw away all the iPhones if you need to, or lock them up. Well, we're going to talk about one more Pied Piper in just a moment. Facebook. It's another Pied Piper. It's called social media. We'll take a break now and be back in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Have you ever felt completely overwhelmed by the normal tasks of daily life? Parenting, academics, work, homemaking, personal care, discipleship, church, family. How does one do it all and stay sane at the same time? Well, we've got good news for you. You don't need to spin your wheels trying to find tips and tricks to get you through the day. Instead, join us this October 11th through 16th for the Homeschool Fitting It All In Summit 2.0 to learn how to decide what really matters, define a workable plan, and then direct your path toward the eternal. We have a world-class lineup of over 25 speakers, including Dr. John MacArthur, Stephen Kendrick, Ken Ham, Kevin Swanson, the Benham Brothers, and so many more. So join us this October in discovering biblical principles to help cut past the clutter and create a personalized action plan built on a God-centered foundation. You can register for free today. Just go to homeschoolsummits.com/event. That's homeschoolsummits.com/event.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Adam McManus. Speaking of the Pied Pipers that have had so much influence upon our children, in this generation, only 130 kids met their end by following the Pied Piper in Hamelin in 1284. But this time, it's way worse, friends. It's way worse. It's way worse. World Magazine has an article on Facebook. Then Facebook apparently knows that its platforms are dangerous to teens, and now it's aiming for younger kids. And so they're simply asking the question, how much is a little girl worth? Apparently not more than Facebook's bottom line. As the Wall Street Journal uncovered internal documents revealing the $1 trillion Fortune 34 company knew that for girls with body image issues, Facebook-owned Instagram made one-third of young girls worse off emotionally and psychologically. So Facebook knows this, but they continue to make money with it. And apparently they were called on the carpet by Congress recently. On September 30th, the Senate's Commerce Committee held a hearing with Facebook safety executive Antigone Davis regarding children and the harms of social media. Senators of both parties asked Davis about internal documents that had been leaked to the Wall Street Journal, showing Facebook's knowledge that aspects of Instagram, in Facebook's own words, quote, exacerbate each other to create a perfect storm. Users' experience of downward spiral is exacerbated by our platform. This is a massive problem. Since 2007, the year after Facebook's debut, the suicide rate for young people skyrocketed. For 10 to 14-year-olds, it's doubled. For young girls, it's quadrupled. And while Instagram did not create the problem, Facebook is aware of its complicity. And there's no question in my mind that the current derelationalized form of social media and online electronic experiences for young children really do have detrimental psychological effects upon human life on planet Earth. No question in my mind on that.
Well, they talked about addictive behavior, eating disorders, anxiety, depression, and even suicide. I mean, if you look at, even as an adult on Facebook, which is typically our social media platform of choice, over 25, 35 years of age, and you look at all these perfectly coiffed people on Facebook going on vacations or enjoying a wonderful meal or out at the opera or whatever they are, and you're thinking, well, good heavens, I don't look that good. I don't have that kind of money. And it begins to develop a level of anxiety. I just made the determination, I'm not going to look at this stuff as much as I once did. I was in there for the social issues and the political issues and to keep up with friends and relatives. But the overall impact for me was negative. I cannot imagine what an impressionable 11, 12, 13, 14-year-old girl who's all about being accepted by her peer group and is concerned about her body and how she looks and whether she's appealing to the opposite gender, how it impacts her. I mean, I can totally get why the number of suicide attempts went up within a year between, I think, 11 and 16-year-old girls. It quadrupled. It's just incredible. By contrast, the percentage increase for suicide attempts for boys of the same age at the same time frame only went up 4%. That should tell you something about how desperately girls are trying to connect through social media like Instagram and why we should, frankly, get them off it.
Well, in just a moment, I want to deal with the question of why Congress is dealing with this as if the government's going to solve this problem for us. I don't think World Magazine is trusting the government to solve the problem. They're hoping that somehow Facebook itself would be responsible or something and not weaponize childhood vulnerability against children themselves, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the issue. It's a bigger issue. It's a broader issue. There's a worldview behind Facebook that our entire world has bought into. And yeah, I think it does stir up covetousness, self-centeredness, and pride, and it appeals to the worst part of the human nature. Yeah, I think that's true. But I think also the world is destroying itself with these forms of media because the world wants to destroy itself, because the world likes it. The world buys into Facebook because the world likes Facebook. And I don't think you're going to get away from that unless the heart changes and unless there's something of a Christian influence that changes direction on these sorts of systems that kowtow as much as they do to human self-centeredness, pride, and covetousness. Also, there's something of an abandonment of relationship in the cold, hard world of electronic social media. In the world of Cain, who, you know, kills his brother and then wanders east of Eden, He can't put his iPhone down anymore. The electronic medium has replaced real relationships. And it's been operating on steroids for about 15 years now. So the whole social situation is changing, Adam. You know, in that, you know, you walk into a restaurant, there's three or four teenage girls, and what are they doing?
Watching their phone.
They're clicking away on their iPhones, yeah.
Right? They're not talking to each other, or if they happen to be with their families, they're certainly not talking to mom and dad. 7 times out of 10, mom and dad are on their phones as well. I often will walk by those tables in restaurants saying, you know, you don't have to text each other. You can just put down your phones and talk to one another. You're sitting right next to each other.
Yeah. Well, here's another example. And I just draw this in because it occurred to me today. Our church offers opportunities for people to actually meet in person in worship. And generally speaking, people are not drawn into the worship services like they used to. In fact, we offer a second service in the evening. Now, we live in a tiny little town in a very small county, population-wise, in the state of Colorado. So it's not as if, you know, we're some mega church. We're not going to be a mega church. We're just a church in a small town, in a county with a very small population. And people don't come to church in the evening for the evening service. Now, they don't want to spend 3 hours or 2.5 hours worshiping with real people because they average 54 hours a week on social media and electronic entertainment and. You got 110 waking hours. You can't afford 3 hours to meet together with God's people in person. Now, as far as I know, there's only one evening service in our county of 16,000 people. And on a Sunday, we can't get more than 25 people together. Because I think most people are glued to the media or to social media. And friends, I don't hold much hope out for modern society, given the fact that they have walked away from relationship. I don't think this is healthy. Now, I'm just giving that one example. I'm not saying that that's the ultimate example of the de-relationalized society we live in. I'm just saying people just don't appreciate coming together in community like they used to.
It's interesting you mentioned community and the importance of relationships and seeing people face to face. Part of the revelation of these internal documents that were leaked to the Wall Street Journal by a whistleblower at Facebook is that they at Facebook themselves were studying the parent-child power dynamic, and they want to exploit it. They want to make Instagram something of the forbidden fruit because they know that the more preteen or teen, especially girl, more likely to gravitate toward Instagram, is of the opinion that mom and dad do not approve, the more they want it. It's the old forbidden fruit thing. And they literally coined a term at Facebook, a phrase called youth helix, H-E-L-I-X, youth helix, whereby they are working to create a product. This is what their marketing and creative minds are doing that will make children want to choose Instagram, owned by Facebook, despite their parents' potential misgivings. And to give you a sense of the ethics of Facebook, this is when I read this article that you sent me, Kevin, from World Magazine, dated October 8th, written by Caitlin Shelton. I was shocked to read this. There are instances of revenge pornography where people have obviously videotaped someone naked, maybe a picture, and Facebook has allowed that to remain online despite the fact that it violates the company's own community standards. And more than that, these documents reveal that people now have been bought and sold on Facebook into sex and domestic slavery. And that Facebook only took substantive steps to stop the practice when Apple threatened to remove the Facebook app from its store. Shamefully, Facebook kept the revenue from ads bought by the human sex traffickers. I mean, this is the level of ethics of Facebook, and they want to take your preteen or teen girl through Instagram to the pit of hell, and they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah, it's just one more Pied Piper, friends. But here's the bottom line. Facebook has the wrong worldview. I don't even know if Christians can make it work for them. I just don't know. But I will tell you that Facebook is about image. Facebook is about covetousness. Facebook is about self-image. It's exhibitionism. It's about people liking you. Do you know what the like button is all about? It's about people liking you. And it's instant ego stroking. Instant gratification, instant accolades. and you can get addicted to it. But the whole religion is wrong. The whole religion of the day is wrong. This bad religion ends up with lots of kids committing suicide. It's a man-centered religion. It's the self-God that disappoints us. How do you save your 13-year-old girl from committing suicide? Here's one thing you could do. Get them out of the self-centered religion that promotes self as God, which is about 99% of the media and the churches and the schooling out there. They need to realize that God is God and that we are sinful and that we need a savior and we need to praise God and not praise man. And then that would fix every psychological problem in the world. I believe that would fix every psychological problem in the world, Adam. To believe the truth. I mean, to really believe it, not to sit there in church and nod, but then go away and not believe it, but just act out a different worldview. I'm talking about really believing that God is God and man is a sinner and man needs a savior and he needs to praise God and not praise man. I really think that would change everything. But Facebook is not about praising God. It's about praising man. It's about liking yourself. Facebook isn't about real relationships. It's about fake relationships. So now, if we have a problem with 13-year-olds getting shamed on social media and committing suicide, do we get Congress to pass another law? Or what about parents? Adam, whatever happened to parents? Do we get Congress to ban free speech? Or do we just get parents to get involved and maybe throw away the iPhone? Just throw away the iPhone. Discontinue all social media. And develop relationships in the home. Go camping. Do family worship for an hour in the morning and another hour in the evening. Would that change the entire family dynamic?
I'm glad you mentioned camping. We just got back from an American Heritage Girls Trail Life camp out, a family camp out. Each family camps, you know, in a separate campsite in their own tent.
Did you put away Facebook for the entire weekend?
Yeah, and we survived.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thankfully there was no service there as well, which was another added bonus. But the development at 2:30 a.m. was quite memorable. We had our garbage hanging from this big hook that was supposed to be high enough so that the animals couldn't get to it, roaming around at night. But apparently it wasn't. These are very aggressive raccoons, literally a foot and a half from our tent. And at 2:30 in the morning, two raccoons were fighting over our garbage, leftover walking tacos. Our kids will never forget it. The screaming that they were doing, the screaming their father started doing, and the whistling and the clapping of hands. I mean, you can't get these experiences at your house. You got to get out and camp.
Yeah. Go camping. So we're saying go camping. Stop Facebooking. Go camping. We don't want to minimize the depressions and the difficulties that teen girls go through. But friends, we're just saying we need to present a different world and life view. We need a different social view. We need to do everything different than whatever the world's doing right now, because the world is messed up beyond all recognition. The world is not worth emulating at this point. So now we need to be aware that social media is not the sole contributor to teen suicide. There's peer shaming, like you mentioned, where they've been humbled or shamed or blamed for some particular sin, or they can't handle the guilt in the face of their friends, or they feel bad because their friends are shaming them. But, you know, ultimately, we should feel bad because we are guilty before God, not before our peers. But see, again, this is a worldview issue. The big deal is not that we're shamed by our peers. The big deal is we're guilty of sinning against God. And so our kids should be raised with the idea the vertical is far more important than the horizontal. The fear of God, the recognition of God, far more important. And so if we feel guilty, we start to feel that guilt or shame, we need to realize our problem is with God, and then we receive his forgiveness, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. We would be forgiven, and so that guilt would be taken care of. So that's the right perspective against this other perspective. So the bottom line is, young men and young women committing suicide, they haven't been believing in Jesus. They're not believing in God. They lose purpose in life. They don't realize that they are made in the image of God and they're loved by God. And Jesus Christ, his son, has died on the cross for their sins. And the purpose of life now is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. God is good. We're the problem, but God has sent his son to fix the problem for us. So I wanted to touch on that briefly, but let me just say, we don't have much time to deal with this other article from Jonathan Turley about free speech, because it appears that free speech is somewhat under attack, Adam. Maybe we need to take this up later. But let me just say this, that, you know, we don't want to rush into Congress and say Congress needs to shut down all social media. Does that make sense, Adam?
Yes. I mean, we need to be internally restrained, and parents should be protective of their children.
Yeah. I want to get back to this article. We're just clean out of time. But let me just end with this, that governments can't fix the problem of teen suicide. Governments are not going to fix the problem of Facebook. And the fact that the public worships itself and Facebook exists because there's a market for self-worship. Government can't fix that problem. Now, the gospel can. And I think parents can do a whole lot more for their kids than governments to fix these problems, especially if they can gain some control over the electronic media in their homes. And I think we're heading for a much more significant social catastrophe. It's high time that people repent of these false religions of humanism, self-worship, and turn back to God and faith, and then bring back relationships. One of the things we used to say about the program is we want to see a restoration of a biblical worldview and relationships, truth and relationships, God's truth and relationship in a lost and lonely world. And that's precisely what Jesus does. He restores the truth, and he restores love and relationship and life for us, because he came to die on the cross and to reconcile us, to him. He came to reconcile us to God through his sacrifice on the cross. Well, that wraps things up for our Generations Radio broadcast. I'd encourage you to our little book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, especially the one little chapter on the rise and fall of science and the influence of technology in destroying our social situation. I've got a whole section on that, on the rise and fall of science and technology in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. Get your copy of Epoch at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.